Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil, powered by Coe's BMW. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3TheFan.com's Cecil Lanny.
All right, we got to go out to that Fireball VIP line and talk to friend of the show. He used to cover the Denver Broncos, now covering the Miami Dolphins on the ESPN. It's Cameron Wolf. Cam, what's good, man? It's Nick and Cecil. How's it going, dude?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Not a lot. Not a lot of wins, anyway, unlike down there in Miami. And we got to talk about Tua, man. I mean, just taking the league by storm, doing everything that you kind of thought he was going to do. The decision to replace Fitzpatrick, going to Tua, how's the team responded? How have the fans responded? You know, just give us a taste of that buzz down there, that winning buzz in Miami.
Yeah, fans out here on the cloud nine. You know, it's the Tua mania every single day out here. You got to realize that this is a franchise that's been stuck in mediocrity for, you know, two decades, you know, since Dan Marino retired. So they've been just waiting for some sliver of hope. And now they have it in Tua, and they are getting success a lot earlier than they thought they were going to. So you got a five-game winning streak. You have your franchise quarterback who's playing well. Everything seems to be going right, you know. It's funny, yesterday was the one-year anniversary, so to speak. I don't know if it's really anniversary, but for Tua's injury that he suffered in Alabama. And he's been reminiscing about that over the last week of just the journey. And it's crazy to think that he, you know, thought he might not play football again a year ago, and now he's the face of the Dolphins' hope of why they believe they could be the promised land. So definitely a lot of optimism, positivity, and Dolphins feel like they're straight up in the right direction.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, the Dolphins being in the right direction. I remember, you know, not too long ago, this was a Dolphins team that not too many people believed in, but Brian Flores comes in and he seems like he brings, I don't want to say the Patriots way, but it seems like he's establishing a new culture, you know, with the Miami Dolphins, and it starts on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Drew Lock hasn't been performing that well, but what do you think that this defense can do to disrupt anything that maybe Pat Shurmur may be looking to exploit in a Dolphins defense?
Yeah, the defense is the strength of this team. I mean, I know we talk a lot about Tua, and rightfully so, but their defense has been superb. They're number five in the league right now in scoring defense, and really what they do is they play a lot of man-to-man defense, and they bring a lot of unique pressure. They do a lot of cover zero blitzes, and they confuse teams because they don't show who's coming with the pressure until right when the snap comes. And that confused Justin Herbert a lot last week. Even, you know, Keenan Allen said after the game that was the most confused they have been all season. You know, Jared Goff had four first-half turnovers playing against his defense. So it is really frustrating a lot of quarterbacks. I think they'll try to do the same, whether it's Drew Lock or Brett Rypien back there. I think they're going to try to set a lot of pressure and force you to make quick decisions. So, you know, Pat Shurmur, the Broncos offense, they're going to have to figure out ways to offset some of that pressure, get some hot routes out, or it's going to be a long day for whoever's back there.
Yeah, that's correct. Cameron Wolf, friend of the show from ESPN, covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Did they find something in Salvin Ahmed? Again, we look at that backfield, and y'all got rid of Jordan Howard. I honestly thought maybe DeAndre Washington might be one of those sneaky, you know, players they pick up before the trade deadline. Miles Gaskin a little bit banged up. Matt Breida a little bit banged up. But the Salvin Ahmed kid, what can you tell us about him? Did they find maybe a little diamond in the rough here?
Yeah, seems like it, right? He came out of nowhere. This was actually his only second game active being in the NFL, and it was his first start. And he rushed for 85 yards, which is the second most of any Dolphins back all year. You know, these teammates and coaches were talking about his speed, his quickness, the ability to hit the hole. And, you know, he's a guy who was undrafted out of Washington. But, you know, I've got more questions from him, particularly from the fantasy football crowd, than a lot of people in a while. So everybody's like, who is this kid? Should I pick him up on my team? Is he a guy to pick up? And I guess the thing about the Dolphins' backfield is they've been going with the hot hand. That's sort of been their thing all year. They signed Jordan Howard. They traded for Matt Breida. Everybody thought it was going to be one of those two guys, and it's been neither. It was Miles Gaskin before he got hurt, and now it's Salvin Ahmed. So I think they've really found a way to develop these, you know, sort of uninherited players. And now he's the guy with the hot hand, and I anticipate he'll be, you know, the guy again on Sunday who gets the most touches.
Now, you know, when we talk about the Miami Dolphins, we talk about Flores, we talk about the defense, we talk about, you know, Tua and how he's helped come in and, you know, lead them to three straight wins. But there's another guy that flies under the radar. He's a small guy, but he definitely shows up really big, and that's Jakeem Grant. What can we possibly expect from this mighty might? Because he's small, but he definitely packs a mighty punch.
Yeah, he's been a unique weapon for them all year. He's actually, you know, he's a special teams weapon first and then a receiving weapon second, but he's been effective in both routes. You know, he already ran a punt return. He ran the first punt return for a touchdown back earlier this season. And in every single run, he seems to be a threat to nearly run it back. You know, he ran, I think, a couple back for 15, 20 yards and last week, and those are field position battles. And now he's been asked to play a lot of receiver because Preston Williams was injured, and he's going to be out for a while. So he's very small, but he's confident. He's speedy. And he's a guy who's going to put a lot of pressure on, whether it's your defense or your special teams unit, to try to get an angle on him where he's going to take off on you.
We're howling with the Wolf. It's Cameron Wolf from ESPN down there. And, of course, remember you're covering the Broncos. Certainly miss you here in Denver, man. I know I saw you at the Combine and stuff, and, like, just wish you great success in everything that you do, Cam. And we talk about success and just kind of culture, right? The Broncos are trying to figure out whatever their culture is. But I want to kind of rewind to last year, because you've been down there covering the Dolphins for a couple, 3 years now. Just Brian Flores himself, and just last year, they're tanking for Tua and all these sorts of things, and Flores showed that fight, that heart, the team responded to him. How important was last year, and not obviously tanking, to build the culture that Brian Flores wanted to build and then build on that success into this year?
It was essential, man. I think when you look at back at last year, I look at that first half of the year when everybody was calling them the laughing stock of the league, and it would have been easy for the players in that locker room to just pack it in. You know, they clearly weren't competing for anything of significance at all last year. But that second half of the year, I think Brian Flores really earned a lot of respect in that locker room, and it really set the stage for this year, because instead of just taking the easy way out, playing Josh Rosen and just saying, hey, we're preparing for 2020, they put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in, they maximized what they got out of the players, and they won five of their last nine games. And they beat the Patriots in week 17 in New England. That cost them a first-round bye. So I think you start to see the early stages of this team that they fight, and they're always going to give you your best punches. They just didn't have the talent. And then this offseason, they spent a lot of money. They had a lot of draft picks. They built the team the right way. And now everything seems to be flowing well. And like you mentioned, I think the common denominator is Brian Flores. He seems to be the right coach for them to fix it. They think they have the right quarterback in Tua. And now it's just riding the wave and seeing when they're going to be, you know, a team to be reckoned with one of the AFC East, the AFC contenders, you know, for a championship.
Well, Cameron, like Cecil said, you covered the Broncos for a while. And when you look at where the team is now, still trying to find, you know, Peyton Manning type of replacement, what is your overall view, or what is it that the individuals in Miami think about when they look at this Drew Lock team led, this Drew Lock led Broncos team?
Yeah, it's a long way from that 2015 year when I was there, and, you know, you got that superstar defense, and, you know, they won a Super Bowl and everything. I know everybody's trying to get back to that moment. I think for the Broncos, it's got to be, you know, I think no matter what, this season has to be figured out. If you believe in Drew Lock as your answer at quarterback, and I'm sure you guys have heard that a lot out there, I think you've got to decide by the end of the year whether Drew Lock is your guy or not, or if you feel like you've got to take a swing in this upcoming draft. Because as a quarterback isn't a position you just want to kind of settle with. And I think everything evolves around that. You know, I'm sure it's not all his fault down there, but I think you've got to figure out, you know, the Dolphins figured out, they figured out that Ryan Tannehill wasn't the guy. And they decided after 7 years that they wanted to move on. And people questioned if that was the right move. And, yeah, he's had a lot of success in Tennessee. But I don't think anybody, now that they have Tua, would say, hey, they should have kept Ryan Tannehill and skipped out on Tua. You know, sometimes you have to take a swing for what's best long term. And I think the Broncos will have an important decision this offseason to do that. So I think they still have a lot of really talented pieces there. I know they got stuck with the injury bug with Vaughn and a few other guys. I still think that they have the tentacles of a team that can, you know, turn around and compete soon, but they've got to figure out kind of get things flowing offensively, and I think it all starts with that quarterback spot.
Nick and Cecil on the Fan, Cameron Wolf on that Fireball VIP line. Nick, I figured it out. I figured it out, dude, right here on this show, now.
What did you figure out?
I figured it out. Cam leaves and the Broncos start stinking up the joint. Cam, come back. Come back. Please, please come back to Denver because we'd love the Broncos to be good and great again like they were when you were here. Man, love talking football with you. And again, every time I see you on ESPN, every time I hear you like on ESPN Radio, wherever, man, I'm just like, that's Cam, man. He's doing his thing, working hard, and having great success. So I love seeing it, Cam. And we certainly appreciate you here in Broncos country, man.
You know, I appreciate it. I had a great time out there in Denver. I hate that the pandemic's affecting anything. I won't be able to be out there this weekend, but I enjoy my time out there. I'll never forget that time. So, you know, whenever I get a chance to come back, I'll definitely try to catch up with you guys and wish y'all the best.
All right, Cam, man. It's Howl at the Moon for one Cameron Wolf. hey, Duffy, man, appreciate you. Good stuff. But I'll leave you with this. I hope Tua doesn't have a great game this weekend.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
My fingers are crossed.
I can't promise you that.
There you have him. There you have him. Cameron Wolf, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Cameron Wolf. And, okay, he said it. We gotta unpack this. The Dolphins found the right combination of coach and quarterback. Did the Broncos have both of those things, one of those things, or none of those things? That's next.